flat tombstone, but it's beside a family member that says Cooper. And
on a sweltering Texas summer day, Eric Robinson and I are looking for a particular gravestone in the historical Greenwood Cemetery, which was originally founded in Waco in 1875 with equal acreage for white and black communities. Today, Robinson, a middle school teacher in Denton, Texas, is here to find the gravestone of Waco native and left-handed pitcher in the National Negro League, Andy Cooper. Robinson is a fan of baseball and has taken a closer look at the history of the game and of the Negro League here in Central Texas. Now, Eric, what made you look at the history of the Negro League, and more specifically, the Negro League here in Central Texas?
What really attracted me to the Negro Leagues, and especially the ones in Central Texas, where these were teams and players who were walking the same neighborhoods, walking in the same neighborhoods I was walking in 100 years before me, same streets. Some of them had even made it to the Hall of Fame, and you don't hear anything about them. It's a level of talent that has just become forgotten. But there was just so much more baseball history in Central Texas than people realized.
So Jackie Robinson, the first African-American to play in the major leagues of the modern era, had Central Texas ties. Is that right?
Yes, that is correct. He spent 1944-45 as the athletic director at Houston College in Austin. But prior to that, he was stationed at Fort Hood during World War II. And he went through a situation that actually attracted quite a bit of attention at the time. He was an officer. He was a college graduate from UCLA that was riding at the front of the bus for military members. And the local bus driver in Killeen asked him to get to the back of the bus because he was black. Jackie Robinson argued, and correctly given the rules and standards, that as a military officer, he did not have to give up his seat. And the bus driver then had him arrested. And Jackie Robinson ended up getting discharged over this incident and the jailing and the argument for refusing to give up his seat and move to the back of the bus for being black.
When specifically talking about race relations of the time, outside of occasionally sharing a field, what was the interaction like between these two leagues?
A lot of times, the interaction between the Negro Leagues and the white leagues would depend on the time, the place, and the situation. It wouldn't be uncommon in certain areas, usually more in the North or the Midwest, where you could find semi-pro teams that would have black and white players on them, like in North Dakota, Michigan, Minnesota. And then you also hear stories, a lot of times they don't know whether they're rumors, stories. A lot of them I do think are true, where in the offseason, certain black players, Rube Foster and work with John McGraw, Christy Mathison of the New York Giants being an example, working with players and teams, but just could not get any attention or credit for it afterwards. And then sometimes staunchly, no. You know, they were going to remain separated, no contact. So there, like so much of history, especially when you're dealing with a complicated situation as racial relations, there is just no real simple answer for how it was during this big chunk of time.
For you, what's the importance of this history and legacies of the Negro League?
I think the importance of the Negro League history is that there were other men out there who had talents and abilities and accomplishments equal to other athletes who've become legends, who just because of circumstance of being born in a time and place that they were, have been forgotten.
Eric, thanks for talking with KWBU today. To hear the complete interview with Eric Robinson on the often forgotten history of the Negro League in Central Texas, visit our website at kwbu.org.